You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I've been very curious about the Jamal Adams and the Jets situation and started asking questions about it this week to people who understand the salary cap, people who understand how these things work. And Jason Fitzgerald from overthecap.com is a guy that explained it pretty well to me, and I wanted to pop him on here to not only pop the site, because it's an outstanding site when you're trying to go through the NFL salary cap and try and understand how it works, but also giving you a sense about how much room a team might have, how it all works right now. So Jason joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Jason, Chris Carlin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Glad to be on.
I appreciate your time. Now, we were talking about Jamal Adams and how the Jets may see this in terms of their refusal here to talk about a contract after year three. They're wanting to wait. They're not even necessarily making it about money, but more about time. So when you hear that, what do you think the basis is in that?
Well, I think in general, NFL teams are usually not going to negotiate that early with most players that are first-round draft picks. I think that's really the main thing that comes into play. You don't want to set precedent for talking to players early. If you go back to the last CBA where the rookie contracts were changed from real expensive ones to these new five-year contracts, only 16 players have been extended after the third year. The last defensive player to be extended from the first round after the third year of his career, I think, was Kuechly from Carolina. That was in 2015. So it's not a very common thing that happens. I think when you look at the Jets, and in particular, you look also at their quarterback situation where he could look for a new contract next season. If you open up negotiations with Jamal Adams right now, you don't really have a leg to stand on with Darnold next year. If the talk kind of comes up and you want to wait on him just to get him to prove more to you what he's going to be. And I think those are really kind of the factors that are mainly at play here.
Okay, so when you start to think about that, when you talk about not wanting to set the precedent, does that mean that they would be more hesitant to do so with Darnold next year?
I would believe so, unless he has a spectacular season. You know, if he's got a great year, then you can probably do that. But when you're talking about a quarterback contract, the going rate on a starting quarterback that's drafted where he's from, you're looking at $33, $34 million a year. You know, you look at where Carson Wentz was, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott now, where he's looking to be. It's a real expensive investment. And, you know, you go a generation ago to the Jets with Mark Sanchez, where they did do that extension early, and it was something that they regretted the minute after they did it. And we've seen that happen before. So I think given where he's at in his career, which at best right now you would say is an incomplete after two seasons, I think you need to see a lot from him before you can really commit that kind of money to where you're just locked in for the next 4 or 5 years to the tune of $34, $35 million a season.
Jason Fitzgerald, overthecap.com with us. So how much, speaking of Wentz, the Eagles just did that after 3 years, and that was almost exactly to the day that Joe Douglas left Philadelphia and came to New York. And we see the Eagles a year later draft a quarterback in the second round, and they could talk about the importance of a backup quarterback. I understand that, but do you think that's a big factor in Joe's thinking right now, potentially with Darnold and even with Adams for that matter?
I think it very well could be. I mean, you look around the league, I mean, even with Goff too, you know, there's a lot of criticism based on how he played this year as to how much he's kind of hampering that organization out in Los Angeles. And there's a lot of, I think, teams historically, you know, if you study these teams, and Joe Douglas has been around the NFL for a long time, you know, he's seen it, I'm sure, firsthand where he's been, even Baltimore before too. When you overcommit on a player, sometimes it can dramatically impact the team negatively and kind of close that window down to where you have that Super Bowl chance if you commit too early to some of these players.
All right, let's talk about the Jets, the way they're currently constructed and the position of safety when it comes to paying him. You have a player at the middle linebacker spot in C.J. Mosley, who's making $17 million a year, got $51 million guaranteed. It's a position that doesn't get that much value as much in the league anymore. Same as safety, for that matter. How much would that hamper a salary cap situation for the Jets next year to have two big salaries at those two positions?
Yeah, it would be odd. That's a very strange construction. You know, usually you don't overpay on a safety and an inside linebacker. In many ways, they probably do some of the same things. Teams a lot of times will look to stagger contracts like that. It's not that you can't have big deals. Most teams have a couple of big contracts on a roster, but generally you don't do it that way. And you look at holes that the Jets might have that they're going to have to fill. You know, they don't have any pass rushers. They need cornerbacks. Those are expensive positions to address in free agency. So you have to look down the line for the way you're going to have to budget and the way you want to allocate your money. So, again, you know, Mosley, he was hurt most of last season. That's a player you want to evaluate this year to see where he's going to be, for the duration of his contract. And that can play a role as well as to how you decide to allocate this money.
When you're trying to figure out what to do with Mosley at this point next year, let's just argue for argument's sake, they would want to take him and they wanted to cut him. And he would have $12 million dead and $5 million saved by cutting him. That's not, at least to the outsider, something that would seem like an ideal situation, what you have dead versus what you would actually save. So what would their options be with Mosley at that point?
So Mosley has, his salary is guaranteed for next year, a partial guarantee on his salary. I think half of his salary is guaranteed. So generally what a team would do in that case is they'd go to the player and they would say, we want to keep you. We just can't keep you at this price. We can't keep you at a $17.5 million cap hit earning $16 million a year. And they'll look to bring his salary down to, say, something like $8 or $10 million, and that'll bring his cap down to, you know, $11.5 million, give or take a little bit. So you kind of get the same savings that way, and you get to keep the player.
Okay, so for Adams now, when he looks around the league and he sees somebody like Christian McCaffrey get the money that he does, and yes, different position, but with the hesitancy to do it after 3 years, is there a true benefit the way things work out for him if he decides to, let's say, hold out, or is there a true penalty yet, especially since it's only the first contract?
The penalties are still pretty steep. You get fined a pretty hefty amount for missing any portion of training camp now. So it can get pretty expensive if you do decide to hold out. I believe in the new CBA, they've changed the rules a little bit with that, too. It used to be that you could forgive those fines. Now I think it's almost more of a mandatory thing now.
I know that's the deal on the second contract, but not necessarily the first.
Yeah, I have to go and double check on that. But there are penalties for holding out. I don't know what leverage he would really gain by holding out either. People will probably remember the Darrell Revis holdout from, 10 years ago, I guess that was, 9-10 years ago. That was a team that was dreaming of the Super Bowl. He was the most important player on that defense. That was a defense-carried team. Jamal Adams is coming on a team that was 7-9 last year. You know, they won 9 games combined, I think, in the 2 years before. So I don't really know what leverage there is for holding out either, only because of where the Jets are as a team. So I don't think that would be beneficial. I almost think you'd be better off play nice with the Jets, kind of show good faith on both sides, and then you get a deal done at some point later on.
Yeah, the way they've spoken so far, we're talking to Jason Fitzgerald of OverTheCap.com, has been Joe Douglas has said, we want to make him a Jet for life, and we'll talk after the draft. And then when they talked after the draft, it's, we don't want to pay you right now. So you can see where Jamal's going to get a little bit annoyed by that. But I guess for the long term here, if you're the Jets, what's the ideal way that this could all play out? How would you try to play this if you were Joe Douglas with the contracts specifically of those big three? Mosley, Adams, Darnold.
I think the best thing for the Jets to do is probably to wait this out. Do what you can to make Jamal happy this season. You can always tweak a contract a little bit if you really need to, if you want to throw him a couple more dollars this year just to kind of pacify the situation. You could try to do something like that. But I think it's in the Jets' best interest to see where these players are all going to be in 2021, see where the organization is headed, where they have to spend their money, and get as much information as possible before you really commit, you know, $17 million a year to a safety.
Excellent stuff, Jason. I appreciate the clarity. I appreciate you coming on. Overthecap.com, it's an outstanding website for NFL fans. By all means, check it out. Thanks again.
Thanks, Chris.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.